Some movement on quelling the robocalls. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, car companies have issued a plea for a single national standard for fuel efficiency. GM, Ford, and Toyota are among the 17 automakers that sent a letter to President Trump and California Governor Gavin Newsom yesterday asking for the two sides to agree on how much cars can pollute in the future. Marketplace's Ben Bradford says car makers want to avoid a prolonged court fight over emissions.
President Trump is seeking to roll back Obama-era fuel efficiency standards, while California is sticking with them. The state has unique authority written into the Clean Air Act to set its own air quality rules. The Trump administration wants to strip that authority, setting up a legal battle that could put the rules in limbo and possibly split the car-buying market. Carmakers agreed to the stricter rules in 2009, but now want looser ones as SUVs and trucks continue to be top sellers. But in the letter to Trump, the carmakers say a legal battle would be just as bad as the stricter rules. They're calling for the two sides to compromise and split the difference. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
The Federal Communications Commission has approved new rules taking aim at robocalls, automated versions of those annoying calls you get from spammers trying to sell you something or perhaps get personal information. The rules approved yesterday are designed to make it easier for cell phone companies to automatically block the calls. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me from Washington. Nancy, how would this work?
Well, the FCC says it would be similar to the way spam is blocked in your email. Cell phone companies can automatically analyze incoming calls to decide which ones should be blocked. And there are telltale signs of robocalls, for example, sending out a bunch of short calls all at once.
What would change?
Well, some carriers already have call blocking programs to cut down on call spam, but right now you have to opt into those programs. This rule would allow cell phone companies to automatically enroll their customers, but it wouldn't require them to do so. The FCC is still debating a rule that protects carriers from lawsuits if they block the wrong calls, like a legitimate call from, say, your doctor's office, and consumers could tell their carriers not to block robocalls. You could opt out of this if you wanted to.
Now, spam email filters don't cost us anything. What about these call filters?
That's the catch, David. The FCC is encouraging carriers to offer call blocking for free. The FCC chair says cell phone companies could save money by blocking robocalls that clog up their networks. But the companies can charge if they want. There are some companies like Verizon which do offer this blocking for free if you sign up for it, but others like Sprint charge extra.
All right. And the FCC doesn't have the last word on this. The House and Senate are working on legislation. Nancy, thank you very much. In just over an hour and a half, it's the government's big unemployment report and a tally of payrolls covering May. A private sector count that came out on Wednesday was strangely weak, but that doesn't always line up with the government data. Forecasters are expecting 185,000 more people on payrolls, in line with the trend. We'll see. Let's check markets. The FTSE in London up 0.9%. Dow and S&P futures are up 0.3% each. As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is able to do what we do every day thanks to funding from public radio stations, foundations, corporate underwriters, and listeners like you. Thank you to all the Marketplace investors who've contributed over the last year for helping keep public service journalism strong. All of us really appreciate your support. The Women's World Cup gets underway in Paris later today when France takes on South Korea. 25 million Americans watched the last Women's World Cup final, and many sponsors are betting this year's tournament will be even more popular. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports from KUT in Austin, Texas.
A couple of teams of girls between the ages of 14 and 16 are finishing up a scrimmage in North Austin on a recent weekday. Among them is Breland Munguia. She also plays for her high school team.
Yeah, it takes up a lot of time, but I think it's totally worth it.
She'll be spending a lot of time this summer in front of the TV, watching the U.S. women's national team try to win its fourth World Cup title since the tournament started in 1991. But her dad, Ray, is into it even more.
I'm usually texting her and telling her it's on or it's coming on. Or I love the women's soccer more than I do the men's, so I think they're a better product. So
he says that's because the U.S. women's team wins. The men don't. Businesses like winners, too, and more of them want to attach themselves to women's soccer. Among this year's biggest sponsors are Coca-Cola, Visa, and Adidas. Nike designed custom-made uniforms for 14 of the 24 World Cup teams. Caitlin Murray covers women's soccer for Yahoo Sports.
Women's soccer is becoming popular. People want to watch it, and there's a reason that now more money is being thrown into women's soccer.
As popular as this tournament's getting, there's still a lot more money in men's soccer. The overall prize money pool for this tournament has doubled to $30 million. But for the Men's World Cup in Russia last year, $400 million was on the table. And right now, money is a big issue for the U.S. women's national team. A couple of months ago, it filed a gender discrimination lawsuit against U.S. soccer's governing body over pay equity and working conditions.
The women play more games, and they bring in more attendance. So they are going to make an argument that it's not equal work for equal pay. It's actually the women's team is doing more work.
Back in North Austin, 16-year-old Breland McGee says she and her friends on the pitch are aware of the equity issues in soccer.
We don't talk about it as much, but we do know what's happening because, like, I look up to those players.
She's going into her junior year in high school and wants to play in college. She just hopes the problem of pay equity in soccer is over by the time she gets there. In Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And Walmart has a new service, grocery deliveries. Why is that interesting? Well, it's not just to your porch, it's all the way into your fridge. How will Walmart do this? A delivery person will have access to homes equipped with smart locks. Why won't the delivery person steal the iPad you left lying around? Because they're good, honorable people. Also, because the Walmart delivery to your fridge person will be equipped with a live streaming body cam, so you can watch the unfolding drama from wherever. In-home, it's called. Starts in three places this fall: Pittsburgh, Vero Beach, Florida, and Kansas City. It's not yet clear what the fee for this will be. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Miguel Contreras. Our engineer is Ben Talladay. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.